Come back to Signals on 91.3. This morning we'll be looking at insights and perspectives from the point of an HR. Uncle Yomi is always coming through, so I have to give him a special thank you. Like this year would not have gone by without you, so I'm very grateful. I have with me the managing director of TWPC HR Services Limited. She's a graduate of banking and finance and associate of the Chartered Institute of Personnel Management and a member of the Society of Human Resource Management. She has three beautiful kids, but she has one particular one that used to touch my heart.
Yesterday was his birthday.
Yes. Like, she has that particular one that, God, that boy used to touch my heart. Like, this morning she came and like, where's Shubomi? And she was like, no, I'm like, you know, like, you go and start, so let him scatter. And Shubomi is the love of life. Now, welcome to Signals.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
Okay, so they played the first one on me this morning. Yeah, we didn't do it. When I told them, okay, myself, you know, I need a guest. It's like, I'm going to bring somebody that, you know, I said, ah. As you do, many bots. I have to give honor to whom honor is due. Is that it? Yes. So we're talking insight and perspective of an HR, and I remember that the last time we met, I think I was having issues with staffing issues. And you were like,
right?
And then you were walking down the staircase. And you were like, there's a way you said this thing that it didn't leave me. I'm like, you're not the only one that's going through it. I'm like, really? I went back and she told you that I didn't forget. I'm like, okay, so it's not only me. I said, fine. Now is the time to let's even talk about this. 2023 is about to wrap up in how many days? And
scary, right?
Yes. Yes, it is. And I was telling you before we came on air that a lot of people have lost talent. And then you go, they're going to lose more. I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, what is he talking about? But why did you say that?
You know, the reality is staring us in the face. Mm. We look at Nigeria today, we look at our educational sector, mm-hmm. we look at the economy as a whole. Mm. We look at even employers of labor. Employers of labor will come to you and tell you that, I want you to hire for me people from certain universities or people that have international exposure. I want this kind of people. These are Nigerian employers telling you that they want this particular kind of people.
Hmm.
So the onus is on people. The people have seen this and they're like, what can I do to better my lot? Get an international education. Expose myself. You know, it's so amazing. You see on people's certificate, Harvard graduate. Isn't it 3 weeks course they did in Harvard? And they say that they...
But you know that Nigerians can do very, very so much that you think that, God will.
I know. Well, you know, and so this... Because our environment places a lot of...
Pressure.
Places a lot of focus on this thing. So people are forced to do this. And the reality... You know, I like... Sometimes I can be...
She's excited and I like it and it's contagious.
Sometimes I can be like really blunt. If you persecute this thing, jackpot, what you persecute grows, and that's the truth. You say jackpot. I was showing you this morning, there was a group that I saw, the first group had closed, they had maxed out on trying to... It's a jackpot forum, the group had maxed out on... And then the second group, they had 910 people already in that group, all trying to do what?
To jackpot.
That is the reality. But what we see is that people will still... 910 people. And this is the second group. So the reality is people will still leave.
Hmm.
But it's important that if you're leaving, you have the right information. You're going with the right mindset, and
so I want you to do something for me. We're going to is it versus? I want to do what is more important, certificate or skill or attitude?
So we always say something: you hire for attitude, you train for skill. The reality is that in this side of town, we place a lot of focus on certificates, but time and time again, it has shown that really attitude is most important and then you can always train for skill. Because if you have the skills and you have the poorest of attitudes, you're going nowhere.
But you know, some will say that it's okay that will open the door for you. So I'm going for an interview. They will ask me for my CV. And you know when somebody is going for an interview, you are looking your very best. Yeah, you're like, okay, we're trusting one another.
You put your best foot forward.
And then the best foot is not footing.
I know, right? What you mean.
And then what would you see, and you've done this for a very long time, what do you see in all of the people that you had to interview and come across? What's that difference that you say, okay, this is a good hire. The months down the line, the knot starts to lose. And then I'm like, okay, so where did we make that mistake?
You see, wherever we have seen people place an emphasis on certificates, we realize that sometimes we get the short end of the pencil.
Hmm.
But where you look for attitude, somebody who is teachable, somebody whose head is in the right, yes, in the right space, you realize that it's easier to work with them. So I have all the skills, I have all the certificates. Sometimes you wear that chip on your shoulder.
Hmm.
You can talk to me that way.
Okay.
You. And we have seen that over and over again. Oh, they are just difficult people to work with. They're low on EQ. They're low on
emotional quotients.
Oh my goodness. It is. And just because they have all of these things, you realize that it's a paradox of success.
Hmm.
You have all these things. But what makes or breaks the business at the end of the day is the people.
Hmm.
Your ability to relate with people, the right attitude, the right skill set. So I will always say, hire for attitude. If you have the right attitude, you're teachable. The skills can blend. And you see, when I've had the opportunity to travel, and you realize that a 5-year-old child here, one time, no, two times, two. You then know everything. Abroad, that's not their initial focus. The first few years, they are expanding their minds. They're teaching them a whole lot more. But we book.
It's not our first time.
I know, right?
Because after doing 6 years, 4 years, this is
6-3-3-4.
Then Asuna asks you.
Ah.
You're already tired. Yeah. And then you want to get into the workplace. And Abiola is saying that we should hire for attitude. After NYC has shown me Shege, how then do we try to keep...
Let me tell you something. You know, it was my son's class party yesterday. And then I sat in the class and I was watching them. And I had to just, you know, like, just chip in a word. And I said to them, you know, guys, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you a secret. You know, all this DYDX you are doing.
It's not going to show up in the workplace.
It's not going to show up. Like, it is almost, I didn't say it's a scam. I didn't use that. But that's the way you're going to use it. But guess what? This, in being in this environment, doing all of this, If you don't learn what you should learn, things like problem solving, and I gave them typical examples. Their teacher was carrying things from table to table. None of them stood up to say, "Can I help you carry that?" And distributing their papers or what have you.
What's the class? What's the
JSS3? All of them are looking at the teacher. Share it one by. None of them even offered
to say, "Ma, can we help you?"
Do you understand?
And that thing is very...
Like, this system, you've not learned, okay, you have to submit this by this. What is it trying... What kind of person is this trying to make me become? Punctuality.
Okay.
These kind of things. Do you understand? Problem solving.
Punctuality, problem solving, helping people at work.
Leadership, servanthood.
That's so the skill set.
I had to tell them, because at the end of the day, you have your first class, you have your...
That first class with no attitude.
Do you get?
Okay.
First class with no certificate with bottom barrel behavior.
Okay. Now, you see what you just said, like, leads me to... I think I saw a tweet somewhere. And I think the person was saying that organizations that are doing team bonding, that somebody did team bonding with his... company staff, and then by the time they got back from team bonding, everybody has resigned. What are your thoughts? Team bonding, Is it a good thing or a bad thing?
Team bonding is important.
But
it is crucial.
But
I won't say there's a but.
Yet, well, let's use yet. So that the but doesn't negate what we're saying. Yet.
The team bonding is critical. And I'll tell you why.
Mm.
Each time I'm in any circle, there is no how that I don't bring my HR head to.
It has to. We need it this morning because it's insight and perspective.
Yes.
So you give us your insight, you give us perspectives.
You see, even in a home where you have 4 children from the same womb, you know my kids.
Yes, I do.
Different. I am not even kidding you.
Sorry, eh? One of them is here.
One of them is here. 3 totally different. And I always tell people, with HR, with dealing with human beings, you are not called to treat people equally.
Why?
You are called to treat people equitably. Because each child is different. What motivates...
So you mothers are HRs?
Oh, I'm telling you.
Okay.
What motivates person A is totally different from person B. It's totally different from person C. At some point, I told my kids, the older ones, I said, go and do me a presentation on why you should have a gadget, a phone.
Okay. I like this.
My son came up with a presentation with his points, and you know which son that is. If you people know me, came up with his
XYZ.
XYZ. And my daughter, on the other hand,
he can't be bothered.
Of course, that was very annoying for me, but she was willing to let it go. Like,
so because of gadgets,
but that jealous.
But that's true because. That leads me to the Gen Z. Why should I stress myself?
Do you understand?
Because I want something from you.
So the reality is, because we know that people are different, but always you will need to bring them in the same room, or I don't mean necessarily a physical room. You will need to bring them together
in
the same headspace to be able to achieve a purpose. You need to be able to help them to see their similarities, their differences, and work towards a goal. Put aside your differences. Let's come together and let's focus on the goal. So team bonding is important.
Yeah, but some people are doing team bonding and they are resigning at the end of the day.
Let me tell you how worse it is, how terrible it is. They do team bonding. You do team bonding, all of us. Hey! Tomorrow they'll say something came up. They're in the airport. They will send you your laptop from the airport.
Why are we like that? Why?
Why are we like that?
Because we talked about attitude. Why are we like that?
So, you see, we're in a call. I always say something here. Wherever we find ourselves, and one of the things I learned in HR, you have to be globally relevant, but you have to be locally intelligent. They call it glocal.
Yes.
You know, we are a paranoid people. We are not a very trusting people. And there's that village people mentality.
Even with all of our books that
even
we have
with all of our books, even with all of our spirituality, you know, there's some people who believe that if I say it now, my head does not allow me to share, you know, or something.
But
will
in
not
the
happen.
Confines of work, it's
you,
not.
You can't separate your person from the work that you do,
and
that's the reality. So you do team bonding, and you have, they're not paying your salary on the 30th. On the 2nd, you now send your laptop that something came up. You that you applied for visa, you carried your 2 left legs, you bought ticket, you did everything. You now say something came up. Seriously? What is the reality? So, as HR professionals, we always have to think, you can't afford to have concentration risk. Where you have all your skills domiciled in a person, you can't afford to not have succession in place. Because the days of you stay in an organization for 15 years...
It's over.
That's the truth. Before, when you see stability, somebody has worked in an organization for 10 years, 15 years, it was a good thing. These days, you begin to ask, you begin to wonder, Are you sure that
just hold your thought a bit. We're discussing in Signals on 91.3, I'm discussing HR insights and perspective with Abiola Omotayo Benson. Now, if you have questions, comments, you can call us or send us a WhatsApp message 0809-234-5913. You can call us 0809-191-3913 or 08-009-222. That's two in three places, 0913. Now, let's look at that 15 years we've talked about, the 35 years that our parents have used to work. And they used to call it meritorious service.
Yes.
Now, for the people who are traveling, and I've read for some people who have traveled abroad and are working, and they too also realize that most of the people that they're working with have been there for 20 years, for 30 years, right? Now, so what's the difference between them and us?
So, again, I always say, wherever you find yourself, look at cultures.
Okay.
Look at your environment.
Mm.
Look at the business culture there is different. But even there right now, because I mean, even when I traveled, I think this year, you'll see that particularly in the Gen Zs,
they don't want to waste.
They're flighty. Give me a project, I've done it, pum,
and they move on.
I've moved on to the next, you know. But there's also their social system works. I don't know how I can explain
yes.
it.
They have proper infrastructure.
Yes, but over here, we're not there yet. You know, we're not there yet. So that will almost sometimes account for why, you know, here it looks like it's more
hard.
Yes, than over there. You know.
Okay. Now, I want to touch a bit on the Japa syndrome and people living and what, because you have seen abroad and home, what is different, because our people are going to have a lot of culture shock.
Oh,
so so that people are going to travel. We can't tell people not to migrate.
That's,
they would have to go.
That is the reality.
You have to stress it. It's yeah. Okay. I hear you. Right now, what should they expect in the workplace abroad? Because some people are hugging people and they are losing their jobs.
Is it only hugging? Okay. You know, even the how you see, and this person, big organization, went, traveled abroad and saw somebody that they had worked together back in Nigeria years back. But this person had obviously gone.
Ladders high.
You know, yes, and had traveled way back. Oh, and she saw, he saw her and was like, ah, how are my children? You know how we.
Yes.
That international assignment brought him back to Nigeria.
Jeez.
How am I, like, did we have something together? Like, even this one that we say, this very innocent one,
how
was your night? Like, which part of my night do you really want to know about?
Okay.
Which part of my night? A married woman? With my husband? Should I go into details?
They see.
Do you understand? So there's a lot of, yes, Jakpa syndrome. Like you said, we can't tell people
not to leave.
To leave or not to leave should be a person's prerogative. You know. But if you have decided to leave, you must understand the culture that you're going into. Understand what works in certain cultures. I'll give you an example. I worked with an American guy before my current place of work, and whenever I write emails, I will write, good morning, I trust this meal meets you well, you know.
He's not meeting me well.
The guy called me. He says, no flowers, no frills. When you send an email, go straight to the point. No, good morning, how did you? No, he doesn't have time for that. And you'll find that typical of Americans. No time for
pleasures,
greetings. Go straight to the point. And we that we are typical Nigerians.
Good morning.
We greet for everything. We greet for everything. I mean, that's just so even language, your manner of communication. It's people are not personal like that, like we are over here. So those are realities of things that you will meet over there. So different cultures, Europe is different, America is different, you know, so you have to understand the culture that you're going in if you have decided to leave. And
you will not pass this conversation. We're still going to stay on it.
Okay.
Because so email, for example, you're saying warm regards, kind regards, kindly, and then, but you know, there's this thing that happened recently, and I think it wasn't me or somebody else. Somebody sent me, it was a young guy. And he goes, hey, hi. I'm like, me. This was me. And he goes, hey, hi. I need to see this from, I'm like, what that way? No, this was me. So the way I could respond was, good morning. And that's how I always respond, good morning. So I take my radio. Good morning, X. This and this is what I need. So the person obviously knew that, okay, I think I'm talking to somebody who's elderly. Because
there's a generational divide.
No, there's a huge generational divide. And so, you know, for some of us, it's we're not looking for respect, but just that little courtesy. And I know that the Western system are very big on regard, at least. You will not say, at all, that's not. I sort of struggled with it, and I'm like, so I said, okay, Oshodi, this is not a respecting. This, I had to speak to my people who are abroad. I'm like, no, it's not like this. I said, I understand your language, so that there's still like a meeting point where we don't sort of, not like one is big on respect, but at least, duh.
I think it's always important to understand context.
Okay.
So it doesn't come off as rude.
Yes, because I, for instance, there's some people, in fact, my colleagues, I sometimes I write hey, or so it depends. It depends on who you're, and then especially if you don't have
a relationship. Context,
yes,
it's very key.
If you're writing a mail to a person for the first time, there are ways you address the mail. You don't go hey, you don't go
hi,
you don't go hi. You know, context is always important.
And
culture, you have to understand the culture you're operating in. It's important, and it is not, there's no culture that that disdains respect. Respect is critical
everywhere.
Regard is universal. Respect is universal. I think I even there was something I saw recently. Respect is universal, but no, there's no but to respect. There is no but to respect. However, in communication, it's important that you always understand context. Mm. Context, context, context. Who am I speaking to?
Mm.
How does the person reason? If I say hey to this person, will this person understand the hey as hey? Do you understand?
Yes.
So all those things are, context is so important in communication.
Mm.
It's so important.
A culture shock. And people are still going to have a lot of culture shock. Yeah. So how then do we
sorry, can I read this? I saw and I just screen grabbed it. It says, unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth. Respect is respect anywhere, everywhere. I am big on respect. I am, but you know that, are we particularly from my
our kind culture of
place, you know, there is a way you can even respect somebody, or you can greet somebody good morning, and that good morning is an insult. Yeah. I had a boss, my very first boss that I worked with. She says, I fear you people from your tribe. Good morning.
We don't mean the greeting sometimes.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, the respect comes through whether it's a hey or it's a good morning. Context is always important. Context is always important. It's like my daughters would say to me, hello, mommy. Initially, I would like, come. The fact that we are trying to be
English
does not mean, you know, well, I will calm down again. I say, you know what I mean?
So how then, a lot of times we've spoken about how the Gen Z's are, that they have issues, they don't have time, they don't waste time. For some reason, I feel that they don't have a problem. It's just that the generational divide between the, is it millennials, boomers, see all the from 90 backward, they are having it hard with dealing with the 90s, 2000, 2001 children. So where do we begin to speak each other's language?
It's an intentional and deliberate effort.
Because it's also affecting work.
Everybody brings, you know, that idea of seeing this Gen Z people as entitled, as spoiled brats, which they can be.
Some of them are beginning to say we are not, our own Gen Z is different from this one.
No, but you see, we have to see that everybody brings something to the table. Even the Gen Z's thinking that we are old school.
Yeah, we don't know
what's going on. Like, it's a fallacy. As my dear husband would say, it's a misnomer.
It's a misnomer.
Everybody brings something to the table, and that's why one area that I am passionate about is diversity and inclusion.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Yeah. Explain more. I feel that sometimes it could be political when they say diversity and inclusion, just to match
some. I know that happens. You know, but diversity and inclusion helps you to see that to make cake, you need flour. You need baking powder. You need butter. You need sugar.
Yeah, that response I want to give you is
but you see, I did something for an organization in Bonny earlier on this year, and you know how diversity and inclusion, even till things like you're working with a third party agency, and this is the host company that you're working for. You're not the host company. You are a third-party company. But there's something that you bring to the table.
And merges everybody together.
That brings everybody to make that beautiful cake that you enjoy eating. If you have cake that too much baking powder, because baking powder thinks I must be in the same proportion as flour. Do you know that there's a problem?
Exactly.
So there's something Gen Z's bring to the table. Gen X, and as people will say, what I will see is sitting down on my chair. If you climb a mountain, you probably will not say it. So perspective, even educational backgrounds
is also different.
Social backgrounds, cultural backgrounds. You must be able to accommodate
everyone.
Everyone has something.
So we are learning from one another. We are not against one another.
We are not against one another. Gen Z, Gen X, Gen Alpha. Gen Alpha.
This one's even Gen Z will be like, we're not disturbing our millennials like this.
You understand? So these are realities that we must come to terms with. These are realities that we must come to terms with.
Hold your thought a bit. It's still Signals 91.3. We're discussing HR insights and perspectives. And for some of you that want to jump, what do you expect? What should you expect when you start to work in that nice environment? Right? Call us 0809. If you have a question on WhatsApp, send us a question comment on 0092345913. And call us and 0091913913. Now, how do you approach talent acquisition and retention in a competitive industry like HR services? I'll come back to you. Talent acquisition and retention.
So, talent acquisition and retention. Let me talk about acquisition first. Yes.
How do we begin to hire the right talent?
It's tiring. Talent acquisition is a thing. Especially we're talking about Jackpot syndrome. And a lot of people are really rethinking work, you know, and if you're rethinking work, it helps you to see what are the possibilities available when it comes to talent acquisition. So for instance, if your work is such that you have to come in every day. In fact, people before they even apply now are asking you.
Remote, hybrid.
Is it remote? Is it hybrid? They are asking you, especially this
Gen Z.
You know, so I had something happened recently with my boss was telling me, So there was an interview, and this person was out there like, oh, I want to work remotely. I want to work. So as employers of labor, rethinking work, what can be done remotely, what can be done hybrid, what can be done physically is very important to talent acquisition. Really.
So that brings me to the question of how then do we provide structure? Because for some people, I don't hide that I have a problem with remote, because I'm like, Nigerian clients don't understand remote. They just want you, are you at your office? What can you do immediately? Right? And I think it's still a cultural thing.
It is a cultural thing. And I've had the opportunity, you know, to travel. And outside there, remote work.
It's a lot. They
actually
provide you a table and chair.
They have table. You are, as and their work ethics, dare say, we still have a
long way to go
to learn from them. They are so disciplined. But me, I'm doing remote work.
I'm in the market.
I mean, you understand? Those are the realities we see. Or you are cooking beans. Or you are... Deal me.
I know.
These are realities. You know, so and that's why sometimes you're like, okay, no, I have to bring you back in. Mm-hmm. But then that's where technology comes in.
Yeah, but you know, during COVID, we did a lot of remote working. When Zoom, the owner of Zoom,
had everybody back to the office.
Come back to the office.
Well, the reality, again, culture. Let's come back to where we are. Let's come back to the realities of the climes we are in. If this work, the economic situation of the country,
it's not just you.
Putting yourself on the road, the attendant risks and all of that. If you see that this and your the organization, depending on the organization, can put technology and structures in place to monitor, it is doable.
It's doable.
You have performance
KPI.
Key performance index. You're supposed to do this. These are your deliverables. And you are not delivering on it. Then let's have conversations.
So you know there's, we build structures for human beings, but
not the other way.
But even sometimes the structure that you build for human beings, the human beings by themselves will game the system. So how then do we checkmate and balance? That's one. Then number two, for people who are fresh out of school, who don't have any work experience or work ethic, what's advisable to them? Remote, hybrid, or physical? Because you know,
You know, I won't say there's any hard and fast rule to it.
Okay.
That's the truth. There's no hard and fast rule to it. And I'll say this. People are different. Some people are self-driven. Some people are not. Fresh out of school. You'll see a fresh out of school person. In fact, some people right from their
primary. They've been working.
Yes, they've been organized. They've been...
Their head is on their shoulder.
Can I even share something? This morning I was coming and I said to my son that he's following me. He's like, Mom, I had something set out to do. I want to review my days. I want
The boy plans. We know that the boy plans.
After a while I said, go and dress up, you are following me.
That's the typical Nigerian employer.
I said, go and dress up, you are following me. I said, yeah, and because I gave you option, you are not even respecting. I just said, go and dress up, you are following me. I'm trying to move my lady now. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But you'll find another child that just needs
push.
Just needs that push.
Push.
So when you're coming out of school, people are different. Diversity. People are diverse. People have different temperaments. People's motivations are different. People's motivation levels are different, people's drives are different. So hybrid, remote, physical, it works for some people, it stifles some people. And that's why we talked about, we're not called to treat people equally. We're called, once you understand that, and you have to be true to yourself. You have to be true to yourself. You want to do hybrid. Half the time, you don't have data. Half the time, you don't have NEPA in your house. Half the time, you don't have the conditions. We're called to treat people equitably. Once we understand that, it helps us to put things in perspective. So even for the same role, you help people to understand that, look, this person should work from home. This person. Some people, it is what it is. There's no hard and fast rule to it, in my own opinion.
So, if you had to decide who should work in the office full-time and who should work remotely, what would be your metric?
First of all, I need to look at the nature of the job to be done.
Okay.
Is it something that can be done from the house?
Okay.
The job in question is so important. If it is something that can be done from the house, that's the first starting point. It's first of all about the job before it is the person. So once I've determined that this is a job that can be done from home, I then want to look at looking for the skills in a person that can help a person work from home.
Okay.
Is this person self-driven? Does this person have integrity? If this person says that I'm in front of my system, I'm sure that the person is not in the market. You know, those are the... So it's first of all the job before the person.
Okay. So, you know, we have the culture where if you are working from home, I think another thing that also beats the... Is it hybrid? Is when you're at home, that's when your uncle, your aunt, your mom, most especially your grandmothers, we tell you, Jokino, I'm on my phone. Pressing. You are always on your phone. To how do you expect your Nigerian parents that I am
working?
Yeah. Right?
It's a reorientation.
Okay.
It's...
And for those who are living with grandmas.
I know.
Aha.
It's a reorientation. And that's why, you know... Okay, like I said, my son who is 12 years old is telling me that
I have something to do.
I have things listed out. I mean, what were the things you even listed out for me that you needed to do today?
So
he gave me a list of things he had planned out to
do. Is it naturally like that?
Yes, he would tell me. In fact, let me even tell you how I overrode. I said, is it written down? He said no, he wants to go. I said if it is not written down, it does not exist. Because in HR you are told that if it's not documented,
it does not exist.
So
we're done. Sorry, man. You know, we're in this boat together.
You know, so this is a 12-year-old.
Who is already planning.
So if you're setting the boundaries, look, I'm working at this time. Sometimes, you know, I have a much.
I'm not kidding.
You know, so you have to be able to set boundaries, let your people know, and which is if a 12-year-old is doing it and you're already in the work age, I'm like, come on, I think you should be able to communicate, set your boundaries. Delineate a space, even if it means you have to go to shared works, you have all those workspaces that you can go to. But I mean, the way you show up is also important. It speaks to your personal brand, you know. So you don't want to be, and those things happen. You are having a Zoom meeting. You know, you need to be able to show up right.
Now, our time is up, but before we go, I want you to speak a bit about the people who are traveling. We have 910 people who are leaving the country, and more would still leave.
Did you say 910?
Yeah, in that group, that about that group.
And that a group had closed. And that's
let's just say another 2,000 set of people are going to.
2,000. That's only one person now. Do you know how many other groups are happening at the same time simultaneously?
So I want you to touch on them knowing the pathways.
Yeah.
Right. And how, so that if you need to, so that you're not gonna have culture shock and lose your job after the millions of money that you have spent, because you'll be working with different people who are not your tribe, who are not they don't even understand some things. They'll just look at you and like, okay. So if you want to know more about the cultural shocks that you should avoid, I think that's the way you should put it, tell us a bit about it, and then how can people get in touch with you?
All right, thank you so much. So even as we speak right now, there is a webinar going on
the lose your job. Somebody lost his job because of cultural shock.
Yes.
And that was painful.
Yes. And what did he do? He just hugged somebody. Long time, you know. Anyway.
After the money. Yeah. It's not 20,000. Is it 20,000 Canadian dollars?
About 20,000 Canadian
dollars. For a piece of funds.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes.
It's okay.
They've just raised it. So, understanding your pathways, the A to Z of immigration. And we currently have a webinar that is holding right now where we give you the information. Because I tell people, there's a lot of information on the net. You can go for it. But if you're looking for information that will be bespoke to you, information that can help you and give you the right foundation to be able to start your migration journey, if that is the path that you have decided to follow. Okay, let me see what is out there. Let me see what is available. What are the pathways? What are different pathways by which I can, you know, explore what is out there? Then the TWPC HR services is available. Is available and will hold webinars. I think the next webinar is coming up on the 16th of December.
Do you have a phone number?
Yes, and you can reach us on 0817201238. And I'll take that.
Again. There's something I learned last week, Saturday, when I was having the cybersecurity expert. I said I'm going to call it the Nigerian. It's our culture. Hey, you've gotten it. So we're going to call it. It's going to be. So you call it 8171. So okay. Like that's what I'm going to do. Because that's not for me. It's just wrong. There is still culture. Oh, please don't have culture shock.
Okay. Let me change it for you. 0817 20 12 0 3 8.
You know that you're Nigerian first. You're first in Nigeria.
0817 20 12 0 3 8.
Thank you. You have to do
81 720 120 38.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And to anyone who is listening and joined in, so we come your way again next week, Saturday, like we always see on Signals. Dream again, create opportunities for people, and have a wonderful week, and God bless.
Thank you so much. Have a good one.